Hallelujah. I so enjoyed watching Amber walk out of here yesterday with her three babies on one pushchair. I was pretty impressed. Stroller, whatever. Come on, I'm bilingual. Give me a break. And is that what they're called? Stroller. I want to tell you a quick story. You want to hear a quick story about strollers? Pushchairs. Buggies? Prams. That's the word I'm looking for. Hallelujah. In England, they're called perambulators. So we're going to China with Alice and Paul, my firstborn son. He lives a little further north. And we're going in there. The first time we went to China, we were going and we didn't take any Bibles in because it was not expedient for us. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So the reason was we were going in there in the long term. We didn't want to get caught up just for taking a few Bibles in. But the second time we went in, I didn't know what to do with this bag full of Bibles. So I thought, let's just take in a bag full of Bibles and hope we don't get stopped, you know? So anyway, what you do is you take the train from Hong Kong to Guangzhou, a short train ride, and then when you get there, you go through immigration and customs, which is much stricter, obviously, than when you go through customs here. And normally they'll check, you know, every third or fourth or fifth person, depending how they feel. When we go with a bag full of Bibles, they decide to check every person's every bag. You know that feeling? Have you ever had that feeling? Here we no, you haven't. You haven't been to China. You have not been to China with a bag full of Bibles. Because one thing ending up in a state pen in New York, where you got lawyers and things. Another thing's ending up in God knows where you're never seen again. Not saying that that would have happened, but nevertheless, you know, it's going on in your head, right? So we're pushing our buggy stroller perambulator with Alice and Paul on it. Now, Alice had just turned two. Paul would have been about 9 months old at the time. So a couple of little, you know, my children, they were the whitest white babies you've ever seen in your life. Like glowing white hair, blue eyes. They're called guelos in China, you know, which means haunted. And, yeah, literally, that's what, well, guelo, which, you know, imagine it's like saying, ghost. And so we're going to immigration. I'm just telling this while everybody's faffing around. You still faffing? Stop faffing. Hallelujah, it's Daniel. And so we get there, and it's just, you feel terrible. Of course, and I'm hoping that nobody will notice me. In China, where everybody's the minimum of a foot shorter than me. So when we get to the place, we got all our bags, and so because we're on a round the world mission trip, and so we throw the bags on, and they're just about to reach for the bag with the Bibles in, and I push the stroller a little bit more, and the wheel falls off. And it just goes, conk, enough for Paul, who's only little, to go, and he starts crying. Alice goes, whoa! And she starts crying. And all the Chinese go, wow, and they all panic because now they don't want to get in some international thing for child abuse. So they grab a hold of all our bags, pick up the stroller, and walk us through customs to the other side. Hallelujah. But the interesting thing was, we stuck the wheel back on, never fell off again. And you don't think you don't have angels walking around, just kicking wheels off at the right time? Yeah, I'm sure of it. Hallelujah. Anyway, we love that story, so that's why I told it. Nothing to do with anything else, but it is Sunday, right? Just want to encourage you in a lot of things. First things first, we, the Africa team, need a ride to the airport Tuesday morning. Early-ish. We're going to probably leave my house about 6. We have the vehicle, but we don't have the body. So please, will that body wave at me now? David. Or John. All right, arm wrestle. And whoever wins. Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks, guys. We just need a... we're going out of Kennedy Airport. So that's so we're going on Pastor Don's van, but we need wheels, somebody to drive it back. Just to let you know a little bit, last week, was it last week? Week before last, we had the IDF dinner, the lunch, meatballs. Who ate them? Right, so I just want to let you know, we raised a little over $400. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. You know, we, again, thank God for the food bank who's provided so much of the food, and we had to buy a little. But, you know, $400 profit, and I thought it was delicious, personally, the lunch. But anyway, and I want to let you know that it's very diverse the way we use the money. You know, we do have an apartment in India. We do have a training school that we're building there, being part of, co-laboring with somebody else. We're not paying for it all, but some of it. We actually have some land in India that's covered in these beautiful mango trees. You know, you need to come and look at it sometime. Anyway, but part of what we're doing with that, we are going to send, every now and then, we do send money to one of the widows that we support in India. Now, a lot of you don't know that the first time I went to, not the first time, but one of the times I went to India when Alice was 14, 13, we met a man called Augustine. And then I've been ministering with Augustine since, was that 86? From 1986, ministering with him every decade, been going over. Then what happened is 2 years ago, Alice was going to go stay with him for 3 months. And during that time, while Alice was in the car, driving home very late or early in the morning, he fell asleep, hit the back of a parked truck. In India, they can park trucks on the interstates with no lights. And he just ran into the back of it. He was killed almost instantly. His wife was severely injured, thrown out the car. And so she was widowed and left five girls. At the time, they were 16 through 21. Six, can you imagine having a house? You know, 16 through 21, just saying that because every now and then we just have to send them something. You understand what I'm saying, you know? So we're going to send them some of that offering just to let you know where it's going, you know, that we're not just raising money. We never raise money for anybody's airfares. We all pay our own airfares. Anyway, so the other thing is there's a guy that we met. I met actually this guy, Prem, his name. Means love, with Augustine about 3 years ago. And he's really developed. He's the guy that we gave him some books, and he translated them. You met him, didn't you, Rich, when you was there? Right. So he's asked Pastor Rich. He emailed Pastor Rich. He's getting married next month. And he needs, listen to this, 500 kilograms of rice. If you don't know what that is, that's 1,100 pounds of rice. So, you know what that must look like dry, let alone when it's cooked. 1,100 pounds of rice is expecting 2,000 people to come to his wedding. Because in those weddings, you know, like the whole village comes, the whole town, everybody comes. So, you know, he's asking for $200. Oh, $200 to feed a whole wedding? Gee, I wish. But just to let you know that we do some little obscure things with the finances, not just, you know, to help people that we're in relationship with. For instance, once, I don't like this story, but I've got to tell it because it makes me look bad or badder. And so one day I was dropping Pastor Ephiel. Not everybody here has met Pastor Ephiel, but he's we're going to go to see Pastor Ephiel in Harare, Zimbabwe. We met first in 1988. He came to my home because he got my address from somebody at a gas station Zimbabwe. Can you imagine? You had a gas station in Zimbabwe. Next thing, he turns up at my house in Lexington, New York. And when he walked through the door, just to let you know how things, odd things, the way the Holy Spirit, when he's writing the script, when he's plotting everything, you know, like we heard last week, when he's writing the plot, you never know what's going on. He walked through my door. I knew he was coming because I got word, but I didn't know him, never met him. As he walked through the door, before I've even closed the door, the Holy Spirit says to me, "Wash his feet." "Hey, brother, how are you? Nice to see you. Sit down." I mean, that's my introduction. I'm going to just do it before I change my mind. Which, do you know how many times we do that when we hear from the Holy Spirit? And as you hesitate, the voice gets quieter and quieter, and you begin to reason it out and don't do it. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So anyway, so I just sat him down, took his shoes off, washed his feet. That was, "Hello, my name's Vaughan, your name's Ephiel Makamuri." And that's what we did. So I'm saying that because Ever since then, we've had an amazing relationship. He's been here, I don't know how many times. I've been there, I don't know how many times. But I took him to Walmart the last time he came, I believe, or the time before. And you know this story? Oh, I do, unfortunately. That's why I'm not laughing. And so I took him to Walmart because he had to buy stuff, you know, stuff he can't get in there. You know, Zimbabwe had the worst economic collapse, maybe one of the worst in the history of the world, since the collapse in Germany in the 30s, when you remember when people were putting their money in wheelbarrows to go buy a loaf of bread. Anyway, history, maybe we should read it sometime. So what turned out is their inflation was at something like 2,000%, so they were beginning to print bills, their dollar, was Zimbabwe dollar, which used to be on par with the American dollar. Now they were printing, was it 100 trillion? 100 trillion dollar bill. Does anybody know what 100 trillion is? Because I don't. It's like a bunch of billions times 100. 100 trillion dollar bill. I got one that I thought was something, and it was only a billion dollar bill. Peanuts. So to give you an idea, it was impossible. It was a nation that's economy had collapsed. Things were very tough. So he's in Walmart, and I saw him, and he said, I'm just coming out. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. In the end, I repark, I go in, thinking, what are you waiting for, you know? With faith and patience, you inherit the promises. So we heard that last week. I've been slapping myself every... No, I took it. Cut up a Sunday. Anyway, I walk in. Do you know what he's doing? You know what Pastor Ephiel is doing? And Brother Vaughan, man of God. That's what happens when I pick up the phone. Hello, man of God. Ephiel, how are you, mate? He's mate. I should call him something nicer. He said, I'm just buying a wedding ring for one of the girls who's getting married next month. I mean, what kind of pastor uses his money to buy someone in his congregation a wedding ring? Because he knows that they can't afford one. I thought, gee, what kind of, you know, that's the way many people in this world are like. And we gave him an offering, as always. And he called me from Zimbabwe. He said, Brother Vaughan. He said, you gave me that money for the kingdom. Would you mind if I used some of the money you gave me for a wedding dress? I thought, wow. He needn't have asked. We have a good enough relationship. But what a quality thought pattern these men have got around the world. That not only would they think to call me because we gave him that money, but actually to ask permission to buy one of his spiritual daughters a wedding dress. Now, that's the quality of the people we work with. And I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. That's kind of thinking that's a little outside our box, right? No? I must admit, I mean, who on earth would ever let somebody else buy their wedding dress or their wedding ring? I often wonder why that's... Thank you, Jesus. Okay, right to the airport we've got. A couple more announcements. We are going to India in July, and we have a couple of spots open for people if you would like to come. This is a great opportunity. It's going to be to Ongole. There's a great team going. Got 4 or 5 people going from Wichita, Kansas. Randy, he's a great man. I've known him for years, but I was with him in the Amazon last July when we went on that trip. So just want to let you know, if there's anybody here interested or you were thinking of going later, you may want to go sooner. The trip in July to Ongole, Tim will be leading it, and my daughter Alice will be leading it. It's going to be a powerful time. So if there's anybody here who wants to go to India, then please communicate. Is Tim up there somewhere? Can't see Tim. Tim's waving in there. You're silhouetted, Tim. Tim, you look like a cardboard cutout. Worse. So Alice, stand up so everybody can see Alice. So just see Alice afterwards. July, India. Some of you need to take an opportunity to do this. In fact, I can feel the Holy Spirit sticking a pin in a couple of people, saying, hey, come on. You should be thinking about this more than just thinking about it. All right, so see Alice. There's a couple of other things. Thank you, Lord. All right, so I was very inspired this morning, as always, by Joshua's message this morning. And he wrapped up his message on leadership at the end with something Dr. Leon said, but Joshua added to it, is we make a huge mistake in this world by asking the question, how things work. I think it's a huge mistake. Personally, massive. If you want to know how a computer works before you use one, you're going to be in deep kimchi. Because most of you have no idea, right? Come on. I know Tom would give us a good shot and all that, but I mean, I don't even want to know how a car works. I definitely don't want to know how a plane works because I get on them too often. I just want to know that 999 times out of 1,000, more than that, they go up and come down okay with me on it. That's all I want to know. Is it going to help my faith to understand the law of lift and how many thrust pounds those engines have got? Is that going to help my faith? In fact, I told you the story. Can I tell you the story? I'm in a story mood this morning. Would you want to hear another story? True story. So I'm on a plane, airport, Kennedy. It was one of those days, I'm sitting there, Newsweek, just got it as I got on the plane, owned it out the front page of Newsweek. This year is the worst year in aviation history of plane crashes. So, the how kicks in. And I start reading it. Can you Adam and Eve it? How can people be so dumb that when there's something right there that's threatening what they do, they read it? I know you all do, because I know when you go to the doctor, he tells you what you've got, and then you go online and study it. Stupid. So I get in the plane, we start taxiing. I thought, not one empty seat. How much luggage everybody's got? I wonder if everybody's paid extra baggage in this. You know, it's just like, duh. Increase your fear. So it starts going down the runway, and I thought, this seems a little more shaky than usual. You know, I've been on planes, mate. 747, this thing's not very And so it starts going down the runway. Them engines sound, they're not normally that loud. No, see, all this going on, this, I'm not even exaggerating. I can, but I ain't. So I'm going down a road. And boom, my oxygen mask comes down. There's 400 oxygen masks on that plane. No one comes down to me. True story. I bet it was an angel messing with me. Don't read that, dummy. Now, that part I'm exaggerating. Might have been. Might have even done that with his foot. And as it came down, boom! I mean, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind! And 400 people went. Anyway. We went for yellow fever shots. We didn't know we needed yellow fever shots till Thursday. That's very handy when you're leaving Tuesday. You can't get a yellow fever shot other than in Albany. $107 a pop, hallelujah. And you can't get them without a script. So you got some stuff you got to get going, you know. So in the end, Pastor Don, myself, and X, we went up there. We drove up there. It was nice because we needed to talk a bit more about Africa. But so when we get there, all the forms you have to fill out, and when it's time to do the shots, of course, Xavier had hepatitis a few months ago, so that's one of the problems. And so she's saying, well, this, that, and the other. She starts going on, and the spiel says, oh, I don't want to know. Just stick it in my arm. And I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the side effects of yellow fever shots. I'm not interested in them. This could happen. No, it won't. And Xavier said, she said, well, you could get very sick. No, I won't. Poor lady, you know. It was so funny. We went in there, a little bit of personality got into it. So she was calling us Larry, Curly, and Moe, you know. Anyway, apparently I'm Moe, aren't I? Yeah. So just goes to show what happens when you start goofing around, I guess. And it was in the end. Well, you know, this, I'm not too short. Just give me the shot, ma'am. I'll be fine. It's just not going to listen to her report. Just not going to listen to it. And I want to encourage you in this. Stop listening. When you go to the doctor, they speak to you in Latin. You don't speak Latin. So don't listen. Why is it when you go to the doctor, suddenly you get interested in Latin? So you go to the computer, say, oh, how did they spell that? Oh, God, that disease. Ding. Brrr, 20,000 opinions. And you start working through them. To heck with that, man. Start reading Isaiah 53. Start reading Isaiah 50. Start reading Psalm 91, Psalm 103. If you want a doctor's report, read that. Don't read their rubbish. You don't care. We put a bid on a place just Thursday. And the lawyer, she's a great lady. The lawyer has got this pile of papers. He said, well, let me just warn you. No, no, no. Just point where I got to sign, will you? I want to get out of here. Okay, she says, here, 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 and here. Thanks, bye. What's the point of employing her and then me worrying about it? That's her job to know what it is, not mine. And so please, when are you going to learn? Knowledge is dangerous as well as powerful. And there's one verse we must always remember. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And when any other knowledge exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you're going to end up in trouble. I want to encourage you in that. What was that report you gave us about Hoimi's, Rachel? Rachel Hoimi. Now, her husband has been with Overland Missions since the beginning. Ran everything in Africa and all that stuff. So she's expecting the first baby. And then she goes to the local... the doctor, the local hospital, the hospital has a 98% cesarean rate. Can you Adam and Eve it? 98%. And the attitude of the doctors is, I'm in charge, just do as I say. When we had our fourth baby in England, Sarah, is she here? When we had our third baby, fourth, in case you don't know, we had our baby in five different countries. But when we got to England, so we get there. We went there once to register, and we went when she was in labor. So we walk into the labor room, and so the nurse, because over in England, they only use midwives, not doctors. I mean, a guy delivering a baby? Hello? You don't think that way? I mean, you don't think that way. Oh. Do I want to see a guy deliver? Please. It's all knowledge. It's all knowledge. I want to see a lady deliver a baby. Anyway, all right, we won't go there. What? Press on, McDuff. Sorry, I'm just going to give you my... I'm going to Africa for 3 weeks. I'm going to give you my opinion, all right? So we walk in, and the midwives say, okay, how would you like to do this? We've never been asked that before. Is that fourth? What do you mean? It's your baby. We're on the bed, on the floor, lights on, lights off, in the bath, in a chair. What do you want? Well, I don't know. We've never been asked before. You know, and we assume it is not our right to have a right over these things because we go to the professional and the professional is trained in Latin. A mo, a mass, a mat. A marmis, a martis, a ment. That's the only Latin I know. I love, you love, we love. It's nice, but other than that, that's what it is. I want to take a few minutes. Joshua introduced us to a word called victimy. It's a lovely word, victimy. Victor? Victory or victimy? It's a good word. You don't like it? We've got it now. It's in. I believe until we understand the beginning, you will never grasp not so much the end, but what redemption is. Unless you understand the beginning, unless you understand Genesis. Genesis. This nation, more than almost any nation I've ever been, they always on about the Genesis. Oh, in 1607, April the 29th, they arrived on Virginia. Oh, in 1620, they arrived on Plymouth Rock. Oh, and they go back. Oh, in 1776. Oh, and now they're always trying to find the Genesis. What the heck's that got to do with today? I probably shouldn't have said that. But what's that got to do with today? But in the spirit world, in the spirit world, you need to know your Genesis. Your Genesis is not Plymouth Rock. Your Genesis is not London, Dublin, Warsaw, Rome. That is not your Genesis. Until you grasp your Genesis, your beginning. Now, I always love to, you know, my number one, my ancestor, the most precious ancestor to me is Father Abraham. Now, you'd say, well, it should be Jesus. Well, I understand, but he's not an ancestor because it was Jesus me. There's nothing in between. So that's not exactly an ancestor, is it? Does anybody understand what I just said? Like, my genealogy with Jesus is Jesus begat Vaughn. Are we okay? You know, there's no Jesus begat Billy Graham and Billy Graham begat, you know what I'm saying? And Billy Graham begat mum and mum, oh, praying grandma. No! That's my genealogy. Jesus Vaughn. Oh, that should not take too much of a tree. We could get that on a twig. Until you grasp that, Jesus me. Jesus me. You're always going to, something else is going to get in between. For instance, if you don't grasp Jesus me, then you know who you're going to get in there? Your mum and dad. And they don't belong in there. Because you were not born by the will of man. You are not born by the will of flesh. You are not born by the will of blood. Come on, John 1. You were born by the will of God. Jesus me. So when you have Jesus me, then the fact that your mom and dad didn't do that great a job, or you think they did do a greater job, therefore you now think that they are what a father and mother should be like when they ain't, because there's never been a father walk the earth that is anything like our Father in heaven. So that's what happens. As long until your Genesis is Jesus Vaughn, then guess what? You got an excuse. And victimy gets in. You got an excuse. Oh, my dad was a jerk. Don't talk about Jesus like that. I will have to. Can you hear what I'm saying? Now, I am telling you the truth. I'm not telling you what's gone on in your head for all your life. I'm telling you the truth. Didn't you love that statement? What was it? Whatever you do, don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Not everything you hear. It's only when you think it, it's got potential of danger. Okay, so now what I want to talk about then is if we're going to talk about Genesis, then we have to go to the book of chapter, verse. Let's go there. That's really where we should go, because that simple beginning, which most of us don't believe. I'm going to challenge a lot of your educations, a lot of your thought patterns. Now remember, the thought is the danger of how things work. How things work. Genesis 1, are you there? In the beginning, somebody say in the beginning. See, do you know how important that is? In the beginning. Henry Ford made a car. And so when Henry Ford made a car, this is actually a true story, and he's driving down the road one day, and there's a Model T at the side of the road with a hood up. And he stops, and he gets out, and he sticks his head under it, and he fixes it. And he closes it, and the guy says, "Wow!" He says, "Yeah, I'm Henry Ford. I made it, and I can fix it." True story. In the beginning. If you don't get it in the beginning, then something that's not from the beginning is going to get in there. So what are you getting in between your now and your beginning? You're getting in there your experience. Oh, let me tell you, experience is pathetic. Don't you love these guys say, "Oh, I went to the School of Hard Knocks." Twit. "Yeah, I was a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks." Idiot. You think being a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks is something to be proud of? It's admitting you're a dummy. It's admitting you're a rebel. It's admitting you're unteachable. It's admitting you're proud. It's admitting you're arrogant. It's admitting that you are not being meek, therefore you haven't inherited the earth, let alone eternity. So please don't go down the Hard Knocks road. That's nonsense. I'm glad somebody told me beating your head against the wall hurts. I'm glad somebody told me that. Okay, I didn't try it. I'm glad somebody said, "Don't ever wet your finger and stick it in a socket. Don't ever do that." Okay, so I didn't. School of Hard Knocks is for unteachable people. Now, I'm not talking about experience that is good experience, because the scripture very clear in Hebrews 6, it talks about that those who by reason of use, experience, discern between good and evil. So obviously there's experience in life that is essential. I've had thousands of experiences and many of them been good. But listen to the ones when I say don't before it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is probably the least believed verse in the Bible. That is probably the least believed. In fact, my son was telling me just the other day about some dude called Neil deGrasse Tyson. You ever heard of him? Who is single-handedly determined, and he's got huge backing, to prove the Big Bang Theory. Huge. It's amazing how people are so determined to prove that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth is false. And I'll be honest with you, a heck of a lot of you sitting here don't actually believe that. I would love to see a show of hands of how many Darwinists we have in here. Of how many people actually believe that Darwin was right and Jesus was wrong. Come on, girls, what they teach at school? What did they teach you at your school, in 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 your college? That's what they teach you. They have these theories, lovely theory. A theory. Right? A theory. And we cannot base our life on theories. To heck with theories. Now, let me just read it again, because I know I get weird in the pulpit, but I'm enjoying some of your looks at me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then we know it goes on and said, and God said. I'm going to jump to verse 26, if you've got your Bibles. And God said, let us, don't you like the us? Just in case you folks do not believe there is a Godhead, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from eternity past to eternity future, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Does anybody feel like you got the faith to believe that? You actually have the faith to believe it? Because you don't know the how. You don't know the how God created heaven and earth. Nobody will ever know the how of it was done. See, I don't know how long a week is for God. Now, we know there's one scripture that said, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. We understand. So, okay, we could say God created the earth in 6,000 or 7,000 years. He could have created it in 6 or 7 million years or billion years, for all I know. And he could have created it in just a week and made it look like it's been created over billions of years. He's God. He's God. Do you ever think that, I know, everyone has favorites, including God. I know there's no respect to a person. He loves everybody, but we know how much Jesus loved John. We know that, right? Do you ever think that, bear with me in a little folly, could you? It said that, that when the morning stars sang together in the book of Job when God created the earth. So there was all kinds of fun going on in heaven. Do you ever think that God may have said, hey, guys, watch this. About 1 million years from now, someone is going to believe that this thing I'm making right now is 4 billion years old. Watch. I'll make it look. Watch. Huh? You see, now I know it sounds, and do you know it's amazing how many people, your mind can't go there. Because you want to know how he did it. What do you say to your kids when they say, what happened to the dinosaurs? I remember that. I say, I don't know. And I don't care. Because I don't read Latin. It isn't the how it works that matters. And if you are stuck on the how it works, how, for instance, does a stick thrown into a water cause an iron axe head to float? Could somebody give me that answer? Maybe we should, write a grant to what's a great engineering school, like RPI. Maybe they could tell us. Tom, you're an alumni. Go ask them. Please, I want to know how an axe head floats when you throw a stick in the water. How can that be? How can that be? How can that happen? How about the same dude? Ah, the water's undrinkable. Give me some salt. Has anybody ever done a number? Have you ever put salt in your tea by mistake instead of sugar? You thought it was sugar? You ever done that? Have you ever done that? I done when I was, you know, you put salt in someone's tea instead of sugar because you're a nudnik. And then when they drink it, you know, it's undrinkable. Water with salt in it is undrinkable. It's the kind of thing you take, well, in a little bit if you've got a sore throat, but if there's a lot, it's the kind of thing you do because you need to vomit on purpose, right? But the prophet said, the water's not drinkable. Bring me some salt. I'll heal it. Wait a minute. You see what I'm saying? You're blind? Okay. Now that's enough, Vaughn. Patoo. Shrop. Go wash. Now, if the guy said, "Boy, how the heck's that going to help?" Huh? How's that going to help? How about the other one? If I can just touch the hem of his garment. How did that happen? You see, as long as you've got the how can I ever go on a mission trip? I would be surprised, at least half of you in this room, you have no belief that you could ever do that. I grabbed Johnny on his way, but I might as well tell him publicly. After his testimony, I said, "John, you need to come to India with us and tell that story over there, mate." Now, if he starts trying to figure out how, I will ask him not to. Can you hear what I'm saying? One good thing, the only good thing, hang on, I've got a couple more examples. I just wrote these down during the praise and worship, so bear with me. How about this one? You want to hear this? If you've got a Bible or you're making notes, Proverbs 20:30. Proverbs 20:30. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. The blueness of the wound cleanses away evil. This is why the scripture says foolishness is bound in the heart of the of a child and the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Most mothers today absolutely do not believe that. They absolutely do. They believe in philosophy and psychology. They believe the Bible is very clear. How can spanking my child, disciplining my child correctly, take the rebellion out of them? The same way a stick makes an axe head float. Because God said it. God said it. How can I get more money by giving it away? Because God said it. How can I get healed by Jesus' stripes? Because God said it. That's how. But I don't understand. I ain't asking you to understand. I'm asking you to believe it. Praise God. How? How can Jesus, beaten mercilessly, and the people that keep on about these 39 stripes he took is nonsense, because he wasn't beaten by the Pharisees. He was beaten by the Romans. And the Romans had no law of mercy. They didn't beat him 39 times. They beat him 139 times or whatever it was. Mercilessly, 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 mercilessly. And that heals his liver. Okay, now here's the survey. How? Nobody knows. How the heck did a man, not just a man, the Son of God, beaten mercilessly 2,000 years ago, heal his liver? Because you said so, Sergeant. That's how. That's how. How does Forrest Gump become a hero? Because he believed his mama and he believed his sergeant. And when he gave his word to Baba, he gave his mama millions. Because he said so. And I think all of the questions that we have. Do you ever think, we were just yesterday, we were over at Tony Raiola's house. We were celebrating our birthday and just hanging around. You know, the day of the argument is over these days because Google it. Like, no, I don't think so. Oh, yes, it was. Oh, Google it. You don't have to argue anymore. Oh, you were right. But there's one thing Google also does. It jams your head with information. It jams your head with how to do something. I remember we were driving a long time ago. What's that bridge that goes to Bear Mountain? I don't know what that is. It called Bear? No. I didn't know that. I've only ever been over it twice. I didn't know what it was called. Thanks. Right. I was going over Bear Mountain Bridge in the direction of Bear Mountain. We got on the bridge. Don't you love it? We got on the bridge and my car packed up. You know, the first car I ever had in the kingdom was a 1967 Volvo. The steering wheel that big. And I don't think it had power steering, you know, because my muscles really got better when I had that thing. So we got over the bridge. Yeah. On the bridge, of course. So I managed to get over there. And then the police came. Don't you hate it? Because once they arrived, you've got to do something because they're there and they have to order you to call a tow. You know how hard it is to call a tow truck when you've got no money in your pocket and you've got no credit cards and you've got no support because you've got a wife and three kids and you're living in upstate New York and you should really be back in London. But anyway. And so, and out come the flares and all that, and you know, all this, and all of a sudden I said, oh, I can't, in the name of Jesus, start. Go back in. Boom. Bye. How did that, I don't know. I don't want to know either. I don't want to know. If I have to know how faith works, all I know is faith has a name and his name is Jesus. And you either believe him, who was from the beginning, or you believe all this information you're storing up in that little piece of flesh of yours. I think a lot of us need a spiritual lobotomy. I like that idea. Somebody get me a battery charger. Anyway. Maybe a taser would do it. And you wake up and go, because you said so. Wouldn't be such a bad idea now I thought of it. Anyway. I'm pretty much wrapping this up. Okay. Could this possibly be true? Please, ladies, don't even think about this. Could this be possibly true? And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took out one of his ribs and I'm not even going to finish that verse. Now, come on, girls. Could that possibly... It must be like, a typology. It must be some kind of a... illustration, something. It's actually true. He actually did that. He actually did that. God actually created the heaven and the earth. Okay. And he made man in his image. He made you and me in his image. But then we blew it. Because Adam sold us out. High treason. I was. It was high treason. Then, nobody could communicate with God unless God said you could communicate with him. There was no two-way covenant with God. Only a one-way covenant. He had a one-way covenant with Noah, a one-way covenant with Abraham, a one-way covenant with Moses. He had a one-way covenant with David. He had a one-way covenant with everybody. And he realized it wasn't working. Because what he'd made, what he created, was lost because of sin. And so what did he do? You know the story. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. How did you do that? Born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she conceived, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. And that child grew and walked the earth, was anointed by God, going around doing good. And he trained up a few people, then was falsely accused, was crucified, died, and went to hell. And when he got into hell, Satan, the enemy of God, realized he had an innocent man in heaven and couldn't hold him. And Jesus, in hell, said, okay, game's over. It's Saturday. I heard that last week. It's Saturday. Give me the keys, because they're mine. I now have the keys to death and the grave. And he rose again. And he ascended to his Father and is now seated at the right hand of God and is coming again. That is not a myth. He is physically coming again. And he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split in two and the whole world is going to see him. And you're going to say, how? By the internet, of course. Let me tell you something. God didn't need electricity to save man, and he sure don't need it to save mankind. And so I want you to understand these things. And the closing thing is something that's been rattling in my head now for, I think, 3 weeks, and is going to be my primary message when I get to the conference in Harare, Zimbabwe, with Brother Ethiel. And that is when Joshua stood here during the school in the morning and said, from now on. I can't even remember the rest of the verse. Cue me. We know no man according to the flesh. For if Christ died for all, then all died. And from now on, we know no man according to the flesh. From now on, we know no man according to the flesh. Why? Because Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one, how much more? Somebody say much more.
Much more.
Somebody say much more.
More.
You see, sin came in the world through one man, but much more from now on. We regard no one according to the flesh, because we were made in the image and likeness of God, and Satan sold us out, but Jesus redeemed us, hallelujah. And from now on, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And if your next question is how, trust me, I'm going to do something with this mic. I'm telling you, saints, you are new creatures in Jesus Christ. You are not mere men. You are not mere flesh. From now on, we know nobody according to the flesh. There's no black. There's no white. There's no Hispanic. Hallelujah. There's no male. There's no female. It doesn't matter anymore. We are all new creatures in Jesus. Can you say amen? So it's as simple as this. If you don't believe what God did in Genesis, then what did you get redeemed to? You just got redeemed to a nice person. You're now a nice person that goes to church. That's what you are, a nice person. Oh, he's so nice. You can keep nice. I want new creation. You can keep nice. I want image and likeness of God. That's what I want. And that's what I've been given through faith in Jesus Christ. Can you give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!